God bless each
Love
and every one of you.
Radio.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We have a little technical difficulties, but yet still we're on the line and we're moving. Let us open up in prayer. I want you to present yourselves and bring your Bibles over to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be a little bit in Hebrews this afternoon. And I tell you, it's been a delay, but it's been a good delay. Those of you who know that my parents, my mother is in the hospital, my father-in-law has been a little ill. We want to talk about faith today. In the midst of talking about faith, we believe, according to the Word of God, that nothing is too hard for God to do. We're going to be dealing with the area of the four different types of faith. And when you're dealing with the four different areas of faith, you got to believe that God is the God of the impossibility. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we declare the word, we decree the word according to your spirit, according to your power, according to your mercy, according to your grace. And we know according to your will, Father God, there's nothing. As we say again, there's nothing. It's impossible for you. There's nothing too hard for you to do. So, Father God, even as we come forth, even as we decree your word, even as we declare your word, we thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to come online and be with you on this present day. A day that you gave us the ability to rise up and see, a day that you gave us the ability to be across and be a part of. And we thank you, Father God, for this manner that you proceed into our life on this day. These things we ask not of ourselves, but through the name of the Most High God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. As I said before, we want to go to the book of Hebrews. We're going to deal with the four different types of faith. One of the first different types of faith we're going to deal with is the natural or general faith. And then also we're going to be dealing with the saving faith. We're going to be talking about the fruits of the faithful and talking about the gift of faith. These are four different categories and just a few dimensions in the area of faith. And now that we're in a season where we're going to have to really deal with the area of faith. The Word of God speaks over in the book of Hebrews. And we start in Hebrews. We're at Hebrews 11. And I want to just reemphasize this particular teaching that we're going to be doing today. We're going to be breaking down some things in the area of faith. And the Word of God speaks over here in the book of Hebrews 11, if I take my time here, it says, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. For it says, by the elders, they obtained a great report. Now, when we think about how it says the elders obtained a great report, they are men of God who live their life even in the midst of not seeing Jesus Christ. Through the power of God, that he's given us the ability not to just transform, but to change. And as we speak according to the Word of God, our job is not to look at, as I say all the time, parallel, but look at the vertical. We as men and women of God are designed and genetically engineered to walk according to the will and the purpose of God. But I want to move on here a little bit. It just says now in the third verse, through faith, we understand that the world was formed by words. Now, this is where I want to stop at to say the world was formed by words. Now, I want to take you back to the book of Genesis. Let's go to the book of Genesis, first Genesis 1. And I want to show you something. Now, it says, the world was formed by words. And we talked about this in our Sunday service on this past Sunday. And we were dealing with the area of foundational faith. Foundational faith. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Genesis, for those of you who are there. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, in void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit, remember, is the spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that there was light, and it was good. And now it goes on to speak about how God begins to pronounce his word and put it in full effect. He said, God said, in the fifth book, and God called the light day, and the darkness called night. In the evening and the morning was the first day. Now, notice in the sixth verse, this is the words of God he's creating. I use that emphasis to know that even though it hadn't been seen, but it was done by the person which is God Almighty to bring all of these ramifications into performance, into place. Now, when we think about faith, the Bible says we can't see faith, but it's evidence through the faith, the understanding that we know if God said it, it can be performed. And as we go back to the book of Hebrews, we look at Hebrews and says, now faith. as I believe it, I got to receive it in my mind to watch it come to fruition. And when we look at the four areas of faith, we talk about the natural or general faith. Now let's look at this real close. Natural faith is God-given in the same way natural wisdom. The natural or general faith is quite distant from every form of divine faith, and whether it's miraculous or non-miraculous. Let's say that again. The natural or general faith is quite a distance from every form of divine faith, whether natural, rather miraculous, or rather non-miraculous. Natural faith is that which the farmer exercises, and when he goes out and he begins to put the seed, I'm talking about natural faith, that by him planting the seed and being a farmer, he knows over and over again as he does his work and he gets done, there's going to be a seed that's going to sprout out of that particular pot of pod that he put the seed in. And once he covers the seed, he begins to water it. In the natural sense, he knows by watering it and fertilizing it and giving it all the nutrition it needs, it's going to spring forth a bud. And even as we understand the process, he believed that even as he put the seed in the ground, many times he put it in the ground, he know without a shadow of a doubt that a seed is going to spring from it if he do the right thing and do it the right way. Now let's look at it in the sense of we're looking at in our own faith in the biblical sense. Now, we don't see the seed that we're planting in our lives when we begin to declare words of God, and we begin to decree words of God, and we know that through him everything and all things are possible. Our job as men and women of God is to exercise and believe and know that through God, everything and all things are possible. Even when we don't see it, we got to understand and realize that it's through him that he provides. And it's through our faith that even though we don't see, we know that it's going to happen. Let's follow up this again. Let's follow a little closer on this a little bit more. Now, it says natural faith is which the farmer exercises. But also there's another type of faith. That's the understanding of the exercising of natural faith, that we believe that God is in the midst of doing everything he said he's going to do. As we lay down at night, we believe he's going to rise in the morning. As we begin to rise in the morning, not knowing that it becomes a natural thing, that when we lay down, we normally get up. Now, the Bible says that the just shall walk by faith. So we believe that according to the word of God, that the plan that God has for my life, and we believe in knowing that his word will not go void, that we exercise the fact that we have to get up every morning. And we know we're going to get up every morning according to his word, because now he has put a gift in us. And with that gift he's put in us, we know that he's going to give us the ability to do what? Rise up and perform the very task that he called us to do. Now, when we understand that point, the knowing that through God that everything and all things are possible, we believe that through God there is a way that supersedes the natural man's understanding. I want to talk a little bit more on the natural faith or the general faith here for a second here. It says natural or general faith. This is a study that I've been doing. Natural or general faith. General faith is a type of faith that every person has inside of them. Now listen to this. It does not save, even though it may be aware of Jesus Christ in the life, in the death of resurrection. Just because you believe in Christ doesn't necessarily say you have faith. You can have, so to speak, anything or something that you may have gained from a natural point of view, but it wasn't by faith that you gained it, because you gained it because you knew that you can get it. Let's say, for instance, that you go to see a house or you go to see a car, there's a business or something you have or you want to get or you want to be a part of, and then you say, I know I don't have a natural ability to be able to obtain or have or be in the presence of, but I believe the God in heaven that says that faith is a substance. I can't see it, but I believe it. I declare it by the word of God, and I put that word into the atmosphere, knowing that if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, that everything that he's told me in his word will come to fruition. That means I have no doubt. I'll be just like the farmer who planted the seed. He knows through the watering of the seed that it's going to spring forth a bud. Just like me and you, as we lay down each and every night, we know that as we rise in the morning, God has given us the ability, according to his word, that if we walk upright, then there's no good thing that we'll hold from us. Now, these things are natural attempts to get us to understand and know that faith is an assuring word. It's a word of not natural confidence, but it's a supernatural understanding that through the word of God, that he brings forth everything that he said he's going to do according to his will, his plan, and his purpose. I'm not going to get off track here, but I want you to understand that. The word of God says, my word will not go void. He said that I'm a God has been given a commandment to bless, and I cannot reverse it. He also speaks about in the book of Psalms that how his word is a covenant word, that he's covenant, he changes not. Now, we want to look at this real close, at the natural or general faith, the type of faith that every person has. Now, you can have natural faith, but you don't have spiritual faith. Just like we just read in the text here, we're reading about how faith can be obtained through a natural point, meaning that you can know Jesus Christ, but you yet don't have the faith that know that Jesus Christ can perform for you. That when you have things in your possession, you depend on the things or your income, your knowledge, or your wisdom, or what you have, to obtain what you need. But a person who says you take the unnatural things of God or the foolish things of God and he confound the wise. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? That even when it looks like I don't have the ability to obtain or have, God has already given me structural understanding through his wisdom and through his word that if I lie on it and believe in it, it's going to come to full fruition. We want to look at something here in the process of that. Now, when we think about this, it says that whereas saving faith is of the heart, the saving faith is of the heart. When you trust God, it's a heart thing. It doesn't come through the natural understanding of trust. See, natural repentance is not real repentance. The Bible says first the natural, but then the spiritual. But we want to make example here that when you got what you call natural repentance, that becomes from a surface repentance, meaning I don't really mean it or I don't really have any kind of debtness to it. It's kind of like the word speaks over in the book of Matthew, 13, about how the seed sower, he sowed the seed and some fell on hard, stony, and rocky. But some of us in our lives have what we call the faith is just surface faith or just surface repentance or just surface belief. But when we believe with our heart, it comes to a point that it goes deeper than what we understand and realize that what God is able to be, meaning it supersedes our natural understanding. That through the God said that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine or even think of. Now, when you look at the exceedingly part, that means in the area of we stuck on repentance here, by natural repentance and spiritual repentance, that when you look at natural repentance, it never has any kind of depth. It never has any kind of root, meaning that when you repent for something, you just, Lord, I repent in the name of Jesus. Excuse me for my mouth. I may have said something wrong. And that's it. No, true repentance calls for you to labor. It calls for you to spend time with God until you hear from God, that he really release you from that which you have done or said or may have come into position to say something out of order of your content and what he called you to be. Meaning that true repentance relies and makes you lie in the word that until you hear from God that he forgives you. Let's move on here. I want to give an illustration a little bit about this. And I'm going to read something here, and I want you to gather this. Whereas saving faith is of the heart, believing the record that God gave his son. You know, the word of God said, who has believed the report, and who has believed the report. And who has that report been revealed, meaning that what he's done on the cross for our salvation. That's a report of Jesus Christ, meaning he laid down his life. The Bible says if one would to die, that right, meaning you would attempt to die for another. But Christ came to die for you in such a way that he didn't even think about it. He knew when he came here, he was coming to lay down his life. Let me go on. It says that meaning not only nodding a mental accent, but a step beyond the natural faith into the realm of commitment of what is called saving faith. Saving faith demands the acknowledgement that Jesus' work of atonement was for you, which was proceeding 24-7. ministry. It takes commitment to start a vision. It takes faith to start a vision. It takes time for you to be able to say, well, that's the part of a vision I want to be a part of, and that's what I want to be in the midst of. But if you don't have what it takes to be here, then it's not the position where you need to be in. Maybe there's somewhere else God has for you to go. But in the midst of having this type of faith, which would come for us 24/7, it allows us as men and women of God to walk beyond our natural understanding and come with what we call a spiritual commitment and faith, to know that when we do anything outside the will and the purpose of God, we ought to feel shame about everything that we're doing. I want to give an illustration about how faith draws. We remember the story about most of you on the line may have heard, and most of you have not had, but there have been all kinds of defeats that have taken place at the Niagara Falls. People have tried to go across the Niagara Falls in barrels. People have tried to go across the Niagara Falls in many different ways. Many death-defying defeats have happened at the Niagara Falls. But there was a man named Nick Wilton who walked, said he was going to walk across the Niagara Falls, on a tightrope. And during that course of time, him preparing for that defeat, it drawed people from all over the world. That was a natural sense, the people coming in with what you call a quizzic, in other words, what you would say, idling minds or inquiring minds want to know. So they all came in to see. But in the midst of him doing the work that he said was seemed to be impossible, there were people who were with him and there were people who were against him. That even as he walked across the tightrope, there was mental people saying, well, he's going to fall. And there was other people saying, I hope he make it. You know, other people say, man, give him the strength. But there's three different categories. There's a category that want to see you make it. There's a category that want to see you fall. There's a category that just don't want to see you make it at all. But in the midst of him going across this Niagara Falls, balancing himself with just a wooden pole, it appalls people to the point that they just couldn't believe that he would take that kind of challenge. The word of God tells Peter to launch out into the deep. Step out. If you believe I'm God, then walk up on the water. See, faith requires movement. That's one of the things we have in our church. Faith takes movement. And when you move in the area where God wants you to move, then God moves with you. Because now you're stepping in a realm of committing yourself in an area what seems to be impossible to the eyesight of man. But when faith moves, God reacts. And when God reacts, he makes it not a shame. That when him making it not a shame, it comes with the belief and knowing that I got a God that's backing me up. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to hear me on this. Because we're dealing with the areas of faith, natural faith, general faith. Now, I want to show you something here. We're going to talk about this a little bit. It talks about faith is radical. It really is radical. It is a faith that inquires we or requires you to step out beyond natural wisdom or natural understanding. By faith, we understand that the universe is not self-existent, whether it is designed by the Creator. The natural of the nature or the understanding that it cannot be the natural man cannot find the intelligence of how this vast universe was created. They send scientists out all over the world trying to find out how did they create, how were the stars put in place, how did the sea form, why is the earthquakes taking place. But no man can come to the ability to understand how these magnificent events or magnificent sights have taken place. It takes a creator. And when we believe in the creation of the world, we believe in the creator who made us. And we believe in the creator who made us. We understand that we were divinely made in his likeness. And being divinely made in his likeness, we are to be like little gods, meaning that through our faith, we realize and understand that there's nothing, I mean not nothing, too hard for God to do, and there's not nothing too hard for me and you to do. Because now we believe through the understanding of how such a supernatural God does supernatural things, that we as a people walk in the area of the supernatural. Now, developing faith depends on your relationship. You got to have a relationship with Christ. That God has witnesses, warned up and built and called and elect to do the very word of God, that they stand in the gap before we even got here, or before we even started our walk with Christ. There were people who were walking by faith for demonstration way before we even got here. Daniel and the lions and Moses. We look at David. We look at Obadiah. We look at John. We look at all these defeats of faith in the midst of the blind man, the man at the pool of Bethesda. We look at all these different defeats of faith that God has performed, that through the illustration of the word of God, that he's a God that's got the ability to perform everything and all things. Faith involves trusting in the word. You got to trust in the word. When Noah was warned by God that the flood would come, he moved on faith. Faith is an action word. In other words, it seems that whereas many seem to be entrained of the notion of faith, they don't really get into the action of faith. I say I have faith, but when calamities and problems come, I bog down. I run out of gas. That faith is not designed to be a roller coaster. Natural faith is a roller coaster because it depends on itself. It goes up when it feels good, and it goes down when it feels bad. When you're in the valley, you have faith in the valley, but then you go up, you have faith on the top. But natural faith, that's natural faith. But spiritual faith is a faith that never wavers. It never dips. It never dies. It never goes through fickleness. It doesn't have rebellion in it. It doesn't have dislike in it. It doesn't have mistrust in it. It's a saving faith. It's a delivering faith. It's an honoring faith. And we realize and understand in the season in which we're in, we know that through God, he formed and changed and transformed the world through his word. So that means the word has power. Even though the word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, we read other parts of the Bible that says that the letter doesn't have the letter, but the Spirit has life, that we can quote scriptures, we can speak scriptures. But when we deal it in an area of faith, then knowing that we got to look beyond what we see and what we hear, that we got to look into what we call a supernatural realm, not what we call, but what is a supernatural realm that's far beyond our natural understanding. Faith is an action word. It is a demonstrating word. Let me give an example about faith demonstrated. It tells me how when we demonstrate our faith, is that when we pray to God, we ask God for certain things, we ask God for certain areas in our life to be healed or be spectacularly done supernaturally, we understand and realize that now we're moving in an area that's far beyond us, because now we're demonstrating our faith, that even as it says in the book of Hebrews, faith is a substance. Remember, it's a substance. What comes out of our mouth is a substance we speak. And as we speak it, we know that through the elders of old in the Hebrew knew that faith was something that all they had. They didn't have the mercy and grace back then. They had to have faith. But they knew that when God wasn't there with them, they understood and realized that in the midst of their defeats, in the midst of their problems, they had to demonstrate faith to know that if the Messiah, the true Messiah, was going to come, their job was to wait on the Lord, just like with us. We knew that he's coming back soon. He said he's coming back for a church without a spot of a wrinkle, not the building, it's you. Corinthians talk about, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that what dwells in you makes you have the very demonstration of faith, to know that you're walking faith, your faith moving, your objects of faith, your object of faith. You're designed to do the word. You're designed to walk in the word. You're designed to speak the word. You're designed to declare the word. You're designed to decree the word. Despite of what's going on around you, your job as a man or woman of God is to you to walk according to his will, his purpose, his power, his plan. Then know that there's not many weapons. And it speaks about in the book of Isaiah, these forms of these things, these distractions that come at us, these wavering events that happen in our life, these things that enable us to step outside of what God has called us to be and then depend on our natural senses. Let me say something on that note right then. I just Brother Holy Spirit, give me some information on that area, that we can speak good with our mouth. The Word of God said we talk with our lips, we talk with our tongues, but our hearts are far from. And we understand and realize that through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost, that He has declared a word even in this season. We know that through God that everything and all things are possible. And I understand and realize that now, as men and women of God, it's far more and far more beyond what we can naturally see. It really is an in-depth era when I'm just looking and understanding how faith involves, how faith develops, and how faith is just demonstrated, how it's an action way of doing things. It's no longer the way that we understand from a natural point of view, but it's an action way that we got to move. James says that show me a man that has faith and with no works, and I'll show you a man with dead faith. You know, so you got to understand that faith takes movement. You're going to have to demonstrate and illustrate yourself as being a man and woman of God and walk according to His plan, His will, His power, and His purpose. And know and understand that through God that everything and all things are possible. We as men and women of God have to realize and know that through God that our impossibilities are being changed for the better. It's been transformed, not for the worse, but for the better. I want to talk about it a little bit. I want to just continue to talk on this a little bit. It's talking about discerning faith. Some people say you can discern faith, you can't discern faith, but you know it really is. When a person opens their mouth, you pretty much know where they are and they walk with Christ. It doesn't take a whole lot for you to understand. The book of Corinthians says He has given you the discerning, not discernment, but the discerning of spirits. Oh, in that First Corinthians, it talks about the manifestation of the Spirit. He's given each and every one of us that we were proper of all. And He goes through the variations of spirits, the spirit of healing, the spirit of speaking in tongues, the spirit of interpretation. All of these things come together in the book of Corinthians, I believe it's in 12 and 7, if I'm not mistaken. I need to check that here and make sure I'm right. But He talks about His manifestation. He's given each and every one of us that we were prophet with all. The profiting of all, meaning that we will gain wisdom and knowledge from that which we are doing and speaking, because now it becomes faith action. It becomes developing a discernment of that which is around us. We as men of God know where we are to place people. We know how the kingdom has been built. It can't be built any other way other than what God says has been built. Whenever there's a distraction in the crowd, our job and my job, personally as a man of God, I just really ignore you. I mean, in due time, God will move you. So, because I can't be bothered with what you call kitty games. I got to move forward in the Word of God. But He talks about in the area of how He gives us the ability to have that discerning spirit, that discerning understanding, that discerning knowledge, that discerning wisdom that inquires us to walk the way He wants us to walk, but not the way we want us to walk. And there's going to be a lot of things that's going to come against each and every one of us, men and women of God, but we ought to stand firm in the midst of adversity. We ought to realize that in the season in which we're in, and whatever it may be, we got to know that God is still on the throne. We got to know that He exists. He's the design creator. He's the person of all intelligence. He's got the ability to shut down any anti-religion, or the devil, may I speak, or any negative spirits, may I speak. Know that through Him, that if we declare a word and decree it, and that we can believe it and focus on it, it's going to be what He called it to be. Even as I come on the radio broadcast every week here, there's no other reason why we should be, you know, men and women, especially of my own church, that don't show up. You know, not on Wednesday night, you don't show up on Monday night, but yet you want to be used, you know what I mean, in the house of God. If you don't show up, nobody's expecting to be used. I just say it plain as that. But in the walk with faith, we got to know that if we come together, we got to understand to have what we call the kindred spirit. That if you get the wisdom and knowledge of the faith of the leadership was in place, then you'll come in with the vision that God has in place. And you'll know that it's only one vision in the house of God. That's only one faith. There's only one developing of faith, which is through faith. There's only one involving of faith, which is through faith. There's only one action way of faith, and that is through faith. Basic discouragement is not faith. You can't have a discouraging heart when you're walking in faith. That when things happen to you, a situation takes place, I don't have enough of this, I don't have enough of that. don't seem to be going right in this direction. God say, have faith. You know, whatever you ask in my name, I will give. And I will let you know by no means that I am a God, that I will shame you. I want us to turn for a minute for the sake of time. We've got 17 more seconds on the radio station here. And I want you to go to the book of Luke for a chance here. To look at the book of Luke for a minute here. And we know through the word of God, it breaks a lot of information here. It talks about how in Luke 11, you probably heard me speak about the folk, but this is so real. When he talks about in the first few paragraphs here, on the first few verses here, that when it came to pass that been praying in a certain place, the disciples begin to ask God, you know, teachers to pray as John, disciples, teachers to pray right there. When your child, your children see you pray, guess what? They learn to pray. They listen to you and learn to pray. But when you don't teach your children in the way of Christ, but yet they see you living a double standard, that they'll be lost. The Bible says their mind becomes seared. They'll see you pray in one way, then they see you beat, argue, talk about, put people down in another way. But that's what you call double faith. That's a faith that's a wavering faith that John talks about over in the book of James. He says, let not the double-minded man know that he will receive anything, because he's like the ocean. He moves in and out. He can't determine whether he want to walk by faith, whether his house is in prayer, whether he's a man of prayer, because now it falls down on the children of disobedience. Because now you're disobedient. Because if you demonstrate wrong before your children, then guess what? They're going to see wrong in the way they come up. Well, it's okay to pray and fight and argue. It's okay to pray and then do things opposite of what the word of God said. That's hypocritical living. You know, I mean, even when you and your spouse get into disagreements, it never should be in a position where the children ought to see or hear what's going on. These things are handled privately in such a way that it don't bring shame upon the leadership of the house or you as being a leader of your house, that when you come to the house of God, then there's no discipline. There's no area of any kind of room to work with, because now that's in the head of the house is disruptive, and they see them set in the house of God, receive the words, but yet they go home with a double standard. Now, let us think about this. He said, teach us to pray. They saw John teaching his disciples to pray. So, in other words, we want to learn how to walk upright too. But God said, I'm going to teach you a more holier way. Not that John is not a good man because he was only a way maker that I may come. But I'm going to show you the way that my father taught me to pray. And he begins to tell him, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. He said, give us this day by day, our daily bread. And he talks about forgive us for every one of our indebtors. Now, things that come against us, indebted to us, and lead us not into what temptation, we talk about temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is the evil? The things that are in us is causing us to refrain against the word of God, which he talks about faith. When you got faith, evil is not present. But Paul speaks about this over in the book of Romans. In Romans 7, he talks about how when I try to do right, the evil is always there. But when I try to do what I think is right, evil is always there. So he was really confused. And we talk about how Paul spoke. This wasn't a man that was absent-minded. This was a full-blown Christian talking this way. But Paul knew after a certain period of time, he had to get his act together. Meaning the same thing with us. We can come in the house of God day after day and just continue to rebuttal and rebel against the word of God, against the house of God. There's something that has to change in our life to get us on the right track where God wants us to be. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The word of God speaks over in the book of Romans, and it talks about in Romans 5, it goes in the area, it talks about how we have access to God through faith, and that the just ought to walk by faith. It speaks about the area of how we as men and women got out to understand and discern that when God is calling us to do a work, it's really more than what we can see. He said in Romans 5, matter of fact, he said being justified. Now that word being is already saying you should already be what you need to be, you know, just in faith. Because now being justified by faith means that now God, the Son, stands in the propitiation for your sins. Now that he's your attorney. That we know the devil is a persecuting attorney, but now Jesus, standing the fact that shedding his blood, standing the gap for us, that even when the enemy comes against us, we have a letter from the kingdom that says, therefore, being justified, I've been freed of every negative sin. sin, every negative conversation, every negative thing I've said, every negative thing I've done, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, all old things are passed away, all things have become new, I become a new man. There's some things that I ought not to walk in anymore. But the word of God does speak and tell us in the book of Galatians that becomes a fight. That the fight in the spirit, now it becomes that, as you said, that walk in the spirit in Galatians 5, I think it's around 17, you can read it. It says, but that walk in the spirit, that you won't fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. He says these things work against one another. The same thing God is speaking over in the book of Romans. If you say that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, now there's a change that got to take place by faith. That I used to steal, I used to rob, I used to be a fornicator, I used to be a homemonger, I used to do all these things, but now I've come to the point that now there's a new thing that's going on with my mind. I got a 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 working with me right now, that I'm trying to transform, I'm trying to change, I'm trying to do a new lifestyle. I'm moving in different directions by faith. It's been action now. It's an action word. I got to develop it. I got to understand that I got to involve my trusting in God and what he's called me to do, or what I've told him that I'm going to do. The word of God says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, and then I shall be saved. Okay, now that you confess, then the Bible says, now walk therein. So when I walk in my faith, my old ways is going to persecute me. They're designed to pull me back into my ways that I used to be. In other words, when they pull me back, I got to understand now I'm being justified as I move forward. As I move forward with God, I'm being justified. I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. There are some things in my life that is going to fall off me. That I no longer can do the things I used to do. I no longer can speak the way I used to speak. I no longer can say the things I used to say. But now I've been exonerated. I've been exonerated. I've been delivered from the hands of the enemy. So now I have the letter from the king that says, now that I receive the words, according to Romans 10:8-9, that I've been freed through salvation, that I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, now I understand I'm in the position of therefore being. It's past tense. I've confessed it. I know that God is with me, that while he's with me, I'm being justified by faith. That means I, as a person, don't have the ability, or don't I have the sense to understand how to control those negative desires that are in my heart that come against me. I have to plead the blood. I have to go to God in prayer. I got to know that because he has told me a word that being justified by faith, I have peace with him. God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at Romans 5, and we're talking about dealing with the four areas of faith. This is just one of the areas I'm dealing with tonight. I'm going to deal with another area on this coming Sunday, as well as this coming week, about the other area of walking in faith. And we got to understand now that the word of God says we've been justified. We've been freed from the bonds and the chains of the enemy. Those things that come against us that make us feel opposite of what the word of God has declared us to be. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, not by anything else, not by my own understanding, not by my own wisdom, but by my own education, but by faith. Now, by faith, I have peace. Because now the burdens have dropped off me. I'm on a different rulership. I'm under a different authority. I'm under a different, what you say, not dictator, but a different commanding officer. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And as it goes on and says in the second verse of Romans 5:3, not only so, but by glory in tribulations. Now, let me say that again. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. In order to get the three, you got to understand what two says. By whom also we have access by faith. Go back to verse number one, being justified by faith. It's got to be by faith. Not by anything else, none of your wisdom, none of your knowledge, but by faith. It's by faith that we free ourselves from the bonds of the enemy, from the bonds of the cares of the world, that we no longer are people who walk by the world system, but we have become a peculiar people. We are royal people. We are royal priesthood. We believe now that We as men and women of God, that we have been given a different standard of rules. We walk by not the rules of this world. And it comes to me, and it makes me come to a sense that my wife has got me a wristband that I wear all the time. It says that you are not of this world. In which I'm not. I'm here the carrier of anointing that spread it. That I'm not some kind of horse, or some kind of clown, or some kind of whatever you may intend me to be that's coming through life. God has called me in the area of the prophetic. He's called me in the area of the teacher. He's called me in the area of a pastor. But I operate in an office now as a pastor. But the prophetic does fall. It's not something that comes up on me all the time. Because why? My justification, when it moves, doesn't come by me just speaking a prophetic word to you every Sunday. It comes to me to teach you and acknowledge you about what the word of God is saying. If the prophetic gift kicks in, then it comes in full anointing. It comes in full stride. It doesn't delay itself. It comes through demonstration. It comes through power, in the name of Jesus. It comes through demonstration of everything that God has put in me. That's why it says, by faith, we have access with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access. The access comes to you acknowledging God by faith and to the grace. But no, he's given you the grace and the mercy that even when you were dead, according to Ephesians 2:1-2, that when you were dead in your transgressions and sin, he made you alive, not your friend. They can bring you out of your conditions. God brought you out. You know, you can depend on a man all day long. But I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, unless you walk by faith and understand and realize that if God be for you, he's more than the word against you. You know, we stand, as he said, whereby we stand in the rejoicing of the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, even in our problems, even in our situations, even when we come short in errors in the natural. God has already declared a word. He's already decreed the word according to the Spirit, that we now walk by faith, that everything we have in life is according to him, according to his plan, according to his power. And Father God, I just declare by the word of God, even as the word come forth today, I decree a plan according to the Spirit. And even as we speak, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for our hearts. I thank you for our minds, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for our counselship in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for giving us the ability to be servants here at Harvest New Life Church. I thank you, Father God, that the finances that we have is already in place in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for giving us the harmony to come among one another, to understand and realize that you're God and beside you, there's no other. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for the prayers that go up for us, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the future state that you have in our behalf, that through we as men and women, God, that we walk according to your plan, your will, your purpose. Knowing that no good thing you will hold from us. Father God, I declare by the word of God as I speak and pray over my mother that you touch her in the name of Jesus, that even in the midst of her getting ready to come home to her own household, that you have your heavenly hands upon her, Lord, that we declare by the word of God that we know that there's not a weapon formed against us. Father God, look over my father-in-law, that even as a report comes forth of this and that, we believe according to the Spirit, that your word has said, who has believed those reports? And Father God, we understand the report we receive that comes from the kingdom. Because your word is already declared according to Jeremiah 29:11 that only you know the thoughts and the plans. And Father God, only you know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us, and they're good and not evil. And Father God, we thank you for the book of Hebrews, Lord, that even in the midst of we have faith, Lord, is a substance that we don't understand or see. But we know by a good report, Lord, we obtain the word from the elders who went before us, Lord, who demonstrated to us, Lord, that the Bible and the word of God is infallible, is a word that is so undescribable, and it is so to the point that's unchanging, Father God. It's an uncompromising word that you have gave us in this season, that we as men and women of God will never back down, to never let any kind of soothsaying spirit come against us, Lord. Never any kind of children and never imp, and nothing is ever direct and indirect our path where you want us to go. And Father God, I declare by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that even as we pray, even as we declare the word of God, we know, Father God, that you're justified, and we are justified because we are in you, and we have access, that we know that it's just you want my faith. And every time I'm a broadcast, Father God, I always see calls that come in, but it's one particular call, the Lord, I want them to have a word to say this afternoon. And we got about 2 minutes left, and we're going to go into streaming. But I want her to have something to say. She's always calling from the 832. 832 number, and I want to open up the line for her to have something to say. So she's a constant person that's always in the line. I wonder what she'd have to say this afternoon. Call you on the air.
Hello?
Call you are on the air. You are on the air. They are hearing you as of right now.
Yes, I appreciate you moving along with the spirit tonight, you know. And, you know, you pretty much know my situation. And right now I just feel real good about, you know, just stepping how God wants me to step. Everything that's happened in the last few months, you know, it hadn't been by my own understanding. And it's different to be moving and not know where you're going. But, you know, I know I'm going someplace great, you know, and it's that faith that you was talking about that keeps me moving like that confidently.
Amen. 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 You know, my first lady is on the line. My wife is on the line as well. I want her to come in and speak as well. You might have my little daughter in the background, but we're going to bring her off the mute. We're going to let her have something that she has to say as well. I believe I got her set up here. Are you there, Patty? She may be on and she may not be on, but I want to have her. I want her to have something to say this afternoon as well. Let me see if I got her going here. Patty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, we just speaking. Go ahead. You've been listening in as well. But as it counts down, we still got streaming time, so we want to just, you know, have you have something to say on this particular matter. You heard what the woman of God has spoken. Both of your lines are open, so you can speak freely as you want. You are the only ones I have open at this time.
Art, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah. Everybody can hear.
Oh. I'm sorry. Like the young lady just said, and I'm so encouraged by her because we have a little bit more insight of speaking with her previously, that you really see faith in action. And when you see some other people, as leaders of the church too, we see a lot of different examples, but especially with this young lady, she has just continued just to seek God. And even though she doesn't understand, she continues to move forward. And I think that's just an awesome example to those that are around her. And that shows just her strength and her desire for the Lord. And that's
Amen.
What we need to continue to strive for, even when it's hard and we don't understand, that we just continue to put one foot in front of the other.
Amen. 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 Woman of God, you want to balance that, or? You have something you want to continue to add? You may at this time.
You know, basically, I guess what put my faith up there is because, you know, like I tell everyone, I know perfectly how to do the wrong thing. I know
Amen.
How to serve the wrong person. I know how to make wrong choices, period. I've been there and I've done that. And if I could get as far as I did doing that, I know I can get a lot farther doing the right thing and following God and doing what he tells me to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. First Lady.
I just want to thank everybody who's on the line, and especially thank the pastor who continually just feeds us such awesome spiritual knowledge and such an encourager to those that are around him. And I just wanted to lift him up as well this evening. He works tirelessly.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's a work, you know, and, you know, our main word, you know, and it says, I remember when I first came into doing the work, and I remember the word of God says that he had begun a great work. And that was Philippians 1:6. That's all I could hear about Philippians 1:6. That's our motto in this ministry. We have a title that says Faith Takes Movement. That's our bread and butter. But we understand our first love of what we're doing. And it says, he that begun a great work in you. And it talks about the performing process. And he will complete to the day of Jesus Christ. I mean, this work is done unto death. But, you know, the work of God says also, as we walk by faith, we got to realize that, you know, trying situations are going to come. They're going to happen. It's nothing that we don't, you know, understand that. as it says in the book of Romans, that these things, these tribulations going to come. But in the midst of the tribulations, our job is to stand in the faith and understand that the work that he begun is a great work. And he said if he begun the work, then he's the one that's going to perform it complete. That it doesn't come. It doesn't matter what comes at us. You know, the young lady said, I know how to make the wrong decision. I know all too well how to do that. But if I can be headlong and headstrong in making the wrong decision, I can be just as strong in making the right decision. That God is a performing God to change and transform things in my life. That he's a redirecting God. That even when I don't see it happening, I believe through faith that it's happening. So as you say before, on the line, we thank our guests for being on with us tonight. And we thank God for, even though these are only lines I opened up, are there many more, but I don't see any of the hands coming up. I opened these up on my own. But I just want to say that, let's keep moving. I mean, let's not be distracted. I mean, let's focus like a laser beam. For those of you who want to attend our services, you know, our service times has changed. And go to the website, which is www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. And you will know that we're in an actual new location. There are some things that took place at the enemy tried to allow us to fall into subjection, but God has got us in a new location. For those who know the new location, you get the text message from us. If you don't have it, you're more than welcome to call 214-870-2146. And let me know. This is where you can text your information for, or you can go to the website. You know, as I said, it's www.harvestnewlifechurch. And for the record, that those who are on the line, y'all know we're at 1655 North Central Expressway, which is a Holiday Inn Express on Campbell Road, right off of Campbell Road. And our service time in the morning is now Sunday school at 9 o'clock to 9:45. And our worship service starts at 10:30, which is a morning prayer we have at 8 o'clock. For those who want to still come in and just pray, and just hear what the Word of God has to say before we get started. But as we end the broadcast, I just want to say I've prayed already, but I just want to know that spread the word about Harvest New Life. There's a work, and we're looking for foundational people. We're looking for people to come in and work in the ministry. We're just looking for people to come and hang around and sit down. We're looking for people to train in leadership to do the work in the ministry. We don't want anybody sitting down. We want people to come in and say, hey, Pastor, out of all the different hospitality ministry you have, I think I can do this one. I want to work toward that one. And we'll watch your walk, and we'll watch your attitude, we'll watch your karma, we'll watch how you are as a lady, a person, as a woman, as yourself, as a woman of God, or a woman or man as a woman of God. And we make decisions as we go forth and seeing that, and we can work in with that, what you have said that God has called you to, because it's going to show. If God called you, we're going to see it. If not, then he's going to show us the opposite. But I'm going to thank you for being on our line tonight. I want to thank you for sharing the word of God with me tonight, dealing with the four types of faith. Next week, and this Sunday, we're going to be dealing with what we call the saving faith. This is a three-week series. I'm going to be dealing with our teaching series. We know we talked last week. We were dealing with some things, but I hope that was a help to each and every one of you. But my word to you is that be blessed. God love you. God care for you. We love you here at Harvest New Life. Me and First Lady Patricia Ellis, we just want to thank you for joining and being a part of our program on tonight. And don't forget, you know, our times have changed. Go to the website. As soon as you can. That's www.harvestnewlifechurch.com. We'll see you hopefully on Monday morning at our 10:30 Hope Call. And we'll discuss some more on this particular matter about the areas, the four areas of faith. God bless you. God keep you.